T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yankee lineup before I bring Cash in. Gardner, Hicks is back. Judge, Holiday, Castro, Sanchez, Didi, Chase, Carter, Pineda, as the Yankees loses a 6th straight. Open up their homestand against the Angels. Still obviously at the top of the division. And joining us now, the general manager of the New York Yankees is Brian Cashman. Cash, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Thanks for a couple of minutes at this juncture. First, give me an update for the folks on Torres.
He went to get a pre-operative, appointment today. He'll have the surgery tomorrow. So we'll, forge ahead. He'll have the surgery, and it'll be a 4 to 6 month recovery because it's a position player, and it's his non-throwing arm. So the recovery isn't as dramatic or complicated as if it was obviously a pitcher or a throwing arm.
Cash, I don't know if anyone got into this, but just from layman's terms, because it came up, what would be the downside if he didn't get it? Did anybody ask that? Would there be any noticeable issue if he didn't get it? Is it something he had to get from a pain standpoint or a functional standpoint, or could they have left it alone?
No, he has a full tear in his ulnar collateral ligament. So the only course of action is, repair.
Gotcha.
And obviously it's disappointing, but he's 20 and he'll return to form with all his, current abilities. So that's obviously a good thing. We just have to wait on it now. It's what happens in sports. Injuries happen and you deal with them, you adjust. And thankfully in this particular case, despite having an operative procedure necessary, it's a correctable one. And the success rate is extremely high. And again, it's not his throwing arm, which is, if you're looking for silver linings. So here we are, and we'll see you next spring.
From an organizational standpoint or a personal issue, any issues with head first slides for your players?
I mean, I think generally you'd like to avoid them when possible, but there's also a recognition that sometimes from the reaction side of things, there might be the only way to secure a play, whether it's on the defensive side, diving head first, or the offensive side, avoiding a tag. I think this was a freak injury. You don't normally see, this circumstance occur on a position player, and especially on the base pass. So, but generally, yes, there's a strong effort constantly of trying to, avoid head first slides, but, they do occur and they will continue to occur, and we'll continue to coach him up. But, in real time, instinctive reactions and stuff, he can never obviously, prevent that. So, it's just an unfortunate accident that happened, and thankfully it's correctable, thankfully, we'll get him back, but we'll just have to wait till 2018 to see to continue his development.
All right, we're talking with Brian Cashman, the Yankee general manager. A lot of other issues to get to. Let's deal with the wounded first. Bird, what can you tell us, and what is the scenario, or what is the formula now to get him back, or is that is something we're not going to see for a while?
Hard to say, to be honest. I mean, we've been dealing with this for quite a long time. He's been seen by, I think it's a total of 6 various doctors up and down the East Coast thus far, and he'll see, a specialist, a foot and ankle specialist now, as he continues to deal with difficulty from, his leg. And, his latest MRI, revealed, obviously, the bone bruise had been healed, but he's still having difficulty, as he describes, when he played, he doesn't feel anything walking around, and it's just over a course of time when he's, playing baseball hard, as he describes it, he starts having trouble with it again. So, does that imply, scar tissue in the bone? Does that imply, I don't know. The end of the day, he's now in, great hands. Dr. Chris Ahmad recommended he see, the foot and ankle specialist in Charlotte, North Carolina, Bob Anderson. We've sent, many of our guys that had Lisfranc issues, Jim Ming Wong and Brian Bruni, if I recall, and maybe even El Duque had to go see him at one point. So when there are certain issues that need to be put in the best hands, we do that. And in this particular case, we're flying him down there with trying to resolve and understand what potentially could be going on, because we don't have those answers.
All right, so no timetable for him. How about Helsbury?
He continues to add workload, in terms of batting practice and base running and some defensive stuff. As we progress in his concussion protocols, we have had experienced, further workload, but then we've also experienced continued headaches that come at times. So when that happens, you back off, you back down, and then resume when the following day or two when he feels better. So he is down. He's returned from Trenton to us. We're on a homestand now, and he feels good today, and he'll probably go through a number of activities on the field in pregame with our team during batting practice. And obviously, if we can string enough of those days together, we'd be looking at a rehab assignment to get him going. But I know he feels, verbally today, he feels, I think the best he's felt in a while.
All right. That's a positive. CeCe.
CeCe, obviously, is down with a hamstring. It was a grade 2, diagnosed as a grade 2 hamstring strain. That's typically 4 to 6 weeks. And, I'd rather over-promise than underperform, so I would err on the side of 6 weeks. But he is feeling really well, and our guys are optimistic that it could be a lot sooner than that. But it's typically a 4 to 6 week process, so we'll see where it takes us, and we'll try to make sure that we handle it. As always, we'll try to make sure we do it the best we possibly can and react to how he's articulating, his feelings and in terms of the drills that we put him through, and keep the throwing arm going as much as possible. But that's the typical time frame, but there is some optimism that it could be sooner than that.
All right, and Hicks and Sanchez both back in the lineup, so no question about their injuries now, so they're well enough to play. We're talking with Brian Cashman. Cash, as far as the position, before we get to the pitches, the position guys, first base, third base are the two that come under scrutiny, obviously. Headley had a pretty good road trip, so we'll leave him alone. First base, do you feel with Bird down maybe for a length of time that you need to get a left-handed bat to put with Carter, or are you comfortable giving Carter the bulk of the work and filling around him?
I thought going into this year we were more than covered at first base between the combination of Austin and Bird and Carter, but obviously that the best laid plans go to waste. So it hasn't worked out. Austin got hurt, and he has returned. Obviously, he's a AAA. Bird, obviously, we have not gotten going at all. And then Carter has struggled mightily. We've determined thus far that Carter is still our best option at first. Tyler Austin's still, obviously getting it going down at AAA, but there's, he's had some strikeouts and some wing and miss and at that level that we, obviously need to see some improvement on, to feel that, he might be a better alternative over time than what we're currently getting from Carter. We've had, a little bit more of the needle moving in a positive way with Chris Carter. I think he had like a 787 OPS for June
right.
coming in.
And he hasn't had a hot streak yet. He hasn't had one yet.
No, you know what? If he's going to settle in to have a normal Chris Carter type season, that means there is a lot of good stuff.
A lot of home runs coming, right?
But I know at the same time there is a lot of frustration, to date because he's gotten a lot of at bats and when they pile up and you've had some struggles, I understand it because I'm there too.
Right.
You want nothing but positive for all your players. He's struggling, or he has struggled, but I do see him impacting the ball in a much better way here in the month of June and even having some hard line outs and stuff. But overall, it's been disappointing from that position by all parties, whether they're injured or on the field and not doing well enough. But as of right now, we're going to go with Chris Carter and then keep running him out there and look for that better day better days to come as he starts to balance out, his overall numbers. And ultimately, if things don't change over time, and we're not sure what we're going to get from Bob Anderson on Bird just yet, so let's just assume we're not going to see him for quite some time, then over time I'll be forced to look outside the organization if the true answer really doesn't reside firm within, even though we did expect that would be the case.
I brought up, this might be out of the box, but I'll bring it up anyway, just something I thought about. You have Hicks obviously playing almost on an all-star level and has had a great year. As Ellsbury comes back, he is a very good athlete, and he is left-handed. Any thoughts of maybe even trying him at first base just so you could get his bat in the lineup and keep Hicks in the lineup?
It hasn't crossed my mind. You know, I do know that over time I think one area that I've tried to improve on in terms of, or something that has changed is, I think when I first started as GM years gone by, I took the, I was kind of taught that you could throw a lot of people over at first base, and it's also like a little bit like left field. Hey,
you can't.
Your defender stick to left.
Right, I agree with you.
But I do have learned over time, and it probably started with the Giambi experience. Right. And despite how good a player Giambi was for us, he wasn't a good defensive player. So, I would be very hesitant and cautious to put somebody over at first base that's not capable of it. Now, we have had first basemen signed that aren't great defenders,
right.
But transitioning someone that's never played the position before and playing them there and trying to count on that going forward, I think would probably be a mistake and not be in our best interest for third base, shortstop, and second, as they, obviously are trying to complete throws over to first and our pitching staff as well. So I would prefer to solve the problem with somebody who's legitimate and that's played the position for a while, but I'm also open.
Well, I gave you a guy who was, I think. Now, listen, I always think it's, and I agree with you, you can't throw anybody at first. It's an intricate first. First of all, you're in on every play, and counting cutoffs and bunts, you're a very integral player all over the field. So it's a very demanding position. I picked up a guy, though, who is a superior athlete and might be someone who would pick it up easily. That's the only reason I brought him up in Ellsbury.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, another thing I'd like to think I'm very open-minded. So if I take suggestions all over, and at the end of the day, that's the one thing my staff knows, that they can bring any idea that's out of the box, and we'll decipher it and walk through it and see if it isn't a potential option regardless. You see, on a temporary basis, Joe Girardi has thrown, catchers over there, whether it's Romine, and, Gary Sanchez played a game over there recently, which, I wasn't comfortable with. So at the end of it all, we do try to, do whatever we can to think out of the box and be open-minded. But hopefully, when the dust settles, we will be able to find a legitimate first baseman, whether it's off of what we've got and it starts to really perform at the level that we kind of expected, or somewhere else outside the franchise.
Do you feel comfortable? You've been very bullish always on Headley. Yeah, always have been in a lot of ways. Do you feel comfortable with him still at third base, maybe more so than your fan base does, or are you concerned about him at third base?
Well, clearly, we've got him signed through next year. Chase is a good man. He's a hard worker. Obviously, the performance, it spiked obviously in April. It was really poor in May. He's impacted the ball much better here in June. So the long and the short of it is, it's like anything else in the position I've got, is what is the alternative? What's the legitimate alternative? If you can find anything better than what you currently got, and is it accessible?
It's
as simple as that. And so I try to create an atmosphere with all of our players where I'm directly honest with any of them. And I've talked to our players in the minor league system. Listen, my job is to find anybody better than you, and don't put me in a position that I can easily do that. But at the same time, the flip side of that is, what is available, what is easily replaceable, and how can, what's the acquisition cost associated with that? It's not an easy position to play.
Right.
We do have a legitimate third baseman in Chase Headley that I know at times, last year, obviously, when he got out of the gates, it was the first 2 months or a month and a half was really poor. But then, he resuscitated and managed that position both offensively and defensively really well the rest of the way. And then this year, he got out of the gates in the month of April and was tremendous, and we struggled in May, and I think he's played much better in June. So ultimately, he's our everyday third baseman. That's what we expect as we move forward. But like anything else, my job is to always find better than what I already have. But realistically, doing so, I think, is a lot more difficult than you know, I guess as easy it is to complain about whatever you ultimately have. And, you know, so, you know, he busts it, and he cares about the win column, and he cares about his performance, and at times he's helped us, and at times, obviously, you know, like anybody else, he's struggled. So, ultimately, you know, like anything else, I would say that he's going to be our third baseman moving forward, unless something, you know, has a legitimate opportunity to present themselves, which right now I don't think is a very easy position to fill in this game regardless.
Talking with Brian Cashman, one hypothetical, and I know you, none of us like hypotheticals, but I'll throw it out anyway. In your gut, from what you knew, and you know stuff that obviously with reports that we don't see, do you think Torres would have been in the major leagues this year or no?
You know, it's hard to say. From an offensive standpoint, the answer would be, you know, he could have played here at the big league level in 2017. He's a tremendous offensive player. From a specialty standpoint, you know, what's differentiates our sport from obviously most other sports, because there's a lot of refinement that's necessary. That's why the development time in the minor leagues can be 4 to 6 years, if not longer. He was learning third base as well as second base. You know, he had been a natural shortstop his entire pro career, and we exposed him to some second base in the fall league, and then second and third at AA and AAA here at in 17. And so it was just limited exposure, and so there was areas that he needed to improve upon, and I wouldn't say he was major league ready under those defensive circumstances as of now, but the tool package and the intellect would lead everybody to believe that it won't be a problem moving forward at some point. Whether that point was 17 or not, I could not tell you. So I couldn't rule out he wouldn't get up here, but I know that if I had a problem with Chase Headley getting injured, Tyler Wade would have been the guy we'd be calling up, and right. He'd probably go into utility role, and Torres right. would swing over to be the everyday guy, you know, for the short term, and that's what we would have had to do in the short term. What that would have been like in July or August, if there was a different name like Kleiber or somebody else, I it's hard to project.
All right, so you wouldn't say, so it wasn't automatic. My point is, what I was looking for was, it wasn't automatic that he was on his way to the major leagues.
No.
Okay.
I think, you know what, when you have a talent like Kleiber, the excitement wrapped around him, that, you know, from the fans to the media get right. caught up in it. So I stayed on record when we moved him to AAA. It was, you know, it was basically because he earned the right to get there, but it wasn't anything to do with the major league side. No different than Miguel Andujar, who's now been moved because of the injury to Kleiber from AA third base to AAA third base, and he's had one game under his belt. His movement to AAA has more to do with, all right, next step in the process, but it has no forecasting side in 2017 on the major league roster. You know, if things happen and you have needs to fill and it's the best option, so be it. But we're not looking at it that way right now. We're looking at he's, you know, a ways away from major league ready, and he's just taking the necessary steps. But I understand at the same time everybody wants, you know, some of these guys here, you know, sooner than later. And but, you know, ultimately, you know, when and if we pull some names, hopefully it's at the time when they're actually ready to perform and impact us in a positive way, rather than, you know, throw somebody at the deep end of the pool when they're not necessarily got their swimming lessons fully under them yet. So we'd rather that not put them in a position to sink. We'd rather have them swim. So that's why it's so important to take each step in the process and finish them off properly. But sometimes I know it doesn't work out that way. Sometimes the emergency needs to hit, and they're the best options, even if they're not finished off yet, and you have to go that way too. So
we're talking with Brian Cashman. All right, the pitching. The bullpen is going to get Chapman back, which is going to put Betances back in a spot, which will take some pressure off Clippett, who had a rough trip. And Warren's got to get healthy. First, we didn't mention his status. How about him as far as when he's ready?
He saw Chris Ahmad yesterday. He was diagnosed with rotator cuff tendonitis or inflammation. I'm not sure if there's a difference in tendonitis versus inflammation. Forgive me, I've been doing this for a long time. But I think he actually said it was inflammation. And so he just put on a medrol dose pack and felt that within probably 2 days, as long as he felt up to it, he could start throwing progression. And, you know, so I don't think it's a long-term situation at all, which is good. He just needed the time out. You know, ultimately, I think, like a lot of the guys, or at least the important guys in the pen, you know, game circumstances dictated, you know, some usages that eventually some guys reacted to. And, you know, reacted in a way that they got tired and not performing up to their norms, and other guys obviously needed a timeout because they their body reacted the way they did. And, and that put us in the position on the road trip to put the ball into other guys' hands to elevate their, status in the roster, whether it was a Herrera or a Gallegos, for instance, or even a Holder to try to close games out and hold leads, in the eighth and ninth inning. And it just didn't work out for us. So it is important to get Chapman back, which pushes Betances back into the spot he does. It'll be just as important to get Warren back. And, that'll give us, I think, obviously a better chance to do something we're good at, I think, regardless, because this team's got a lot of fight, so that's to compete. And so I think when all that happens, I think the day off we had yesterday was desperately needed, and I look forward to this homestand. I think we're going to have a strong, good homestand, and I think we'll have a much better homestand than we did road trip.
We're talking with Brian. Now, how do you feel about the starting rotation right now with CeCe down, with Tanaka's issues, Montgomery, Pineda, and obviously, for the most part, Severino's been great. How do you feel about your starting pitching as a whole right now?
Well, we got a five-man staff, and so I guess, very happy with how 2, 3, and 4 have performed. And currently, obviously, we haven't been able to get number one online, which is Tanaka. And that's vitally important to get done at some point, and get him on track, because where we want to go, we're going to, certainly he would be a big part of that.
Right.
So, and then obviously Sessa is going to take the ball again the next turnaround. So I think the fifth spot in the rotation, with the absence of CC is an area that, I think on those days we're going to have to score some runs probably, to be quite honest, because we haven't had guys firing in all cylinders for the next step up in the ladder. And so those days could be bullpen days like you just saw in that Sunday game in Oakland. If they don't have their fastball command and their stuff working well enough, it might be it might be a stretch trying to get into the fifth inning. Cassessa hasn't found his stride just yet this year, but he's been the best alternative as we've collapsed Green in the pen, and now he's not necessarily stretched out to be a starting guy. We've had Mitchell enough in the pen where we're trying to stretch him back out of Triple-A. So we've got caught short a little bit that way, where at the simultaneously Sessa wasn't firing, his best bullets like he was last year. And so the CC Sabathia injury is, the timing of that's more difficult. But that's not a complaint. It's just it's kind of a fact of the status of where we are currently. And hopefully we get CC back in the meantime. Hopefully we can get Tanaka online and withstand, obviously, the fifth starter role, with the offense that we provide, which I think is pretty good.
Have you changed your opinion about what is ailing Tanaka, or is it pretty much you guys feel you have a handle on it and just haven't been able to get it fixed?
I'd say it's the same. I think that overall his stuff isn't as good this year. The splitter hasn't been as dynamic. I think that's a fact. I think we've seen it at times, so we've seen glimpses of it. We've seen games or in-game glimpses of it where it comes and goes. I think we've seen fastball command and consistency. It's like anybody who's struggling, I think, in the terms of sequencing on pitch usage, that can come into question at times too. So I think it's a little bit of everything. It's not at this stage what we consider any health issue whatsoever. We've never been able to decipher that there's an injury here that we're dealing with. There's no complaints from the player. So it's a combination of poor performance and what's contributing to that. And I'm sure I'm sure his psyche is a little bit challenged, like anybody would when, you're getting your ears pinned back by opposing offenses with the home runs that have happened, when you're struggling. So so we're working through all of it. I mean, he's battling. He's, I'm sure, frustrated. He is definitely focused on fixing all the problems and getting back to the Tanaka that we're used to and that he's accustomed to being. But it's certainly been a struggle for all parties, whether it's the pitching coach, the player, the front office, the analytics, the scouting assessments, all aspect of it. It's we're trying to find every which way to contribute and find the right path. But as you've seen, the results have not followed yet.
This far into the season, Cash, has your opinion of your team anywhere along this way changed from the very fast start to where you've been basically about a 500 team, which is not abnormal? I mean, after a quick start, to play basically, I think, 2 under over the last 40 games or so. Has your opinion of your team changed in any way?
No, I think we're capable of a lot. One thing that I think it's reared its its head in a positive way, you know, from start of spring training all the way through, is this is a very close-knit group.
Right.
This is a very hard-working, caring group that that has a ton of character.
They doesn't quit at all.
Yeah, they love to compete.
Right.
So the
don't
one
quit
thing,
at all. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So even if we're going with, at times, like every team has to deal with different names,
right,
they're getting after it. They don't approach any day, in my opinion, with the thought of, well, I don't know how we're going to win today. I think they go into it every day expecting to win and expecting to win big.
Right.
And even if they go down in the hole early, you've seen how they respond. They're like, they don't shut it down and say, all right, we'll live to fight another day. They battle it all the way to the last out. And so that's the one thing I'm proud about, watching how these guys have come together as a unit and how they, you know, go after it that way. Because that's an organizational's dream. You want those type of guys. Ultimately, we had a lot of talent, and, you know, we have to stay healthy, and we obviously have to – everybody's interest is to have all aspects of the roster performing to the maximum potential. And obviously, we're not doing that right now, and we have areas of need to fix. Some of it we can potentially fix organically, and other stuff I'm going to have to do some triage. And as the trade deadline approaches, you know, the more realistic options will, you know, present themselves, and we'll discuss with ownership. But no, I think this team's capable of a lot of different things, and mostly positive. But we're looking forward to getting Warren back and CC back, and maintaining what we currently have. And it's nice to get Hicks back in the lineup. I think that's important, and you know, he's been a big part of our win column thus far. And so now we got to get Jake back too. Hopefully, you know, all of that will happen sooner than later, and we don't lose anybody else as this goes on.
Judge, what's the thing about Judge, if anything, that you've noticed or been the most impressive in this amazing start for you? What's the thing that you have or caught your eye, or as other than obviously the long home runs, which has caught everybody's eye, but what is it about Judge that has grabbed you?
No, I mean, I was going to say just easily the performance.
Right.
I mean, there's not a person walking this planet, including anybody with a Yankee, a paycheck, that would have projected that in his very first full season of the big leagues, you'd be looking at a potential MVP.
No, he's been the best player in the league, hands down.
And
he's been the best player in the league.
So that, you know, that he's certainly capable of a lot, and it's someone that we're real proud of, and you know, he's got great character. He's always maintained that throughout, you know, his current early pro career with us. You know, he's someone that's had a lot of leadership abilities.
So you knew his character was special. Even, I mean, you knew that about him. So this wasn't a surprise. This wasn't a revelation.
No.
You knew this about him. Okay.
No, everything. Yeah, and that's one of the, you know, the on the scouting reports about, will this player, each individual player has areas of weakness that they got to shore up in their game, and so some of these people have such, you know, great character and leadership that you kind of, whether it's real or not, you say, well, if anybody's going to figure that stuff out and close these things down and improve on these areas of weaknesses, you gravitate to those type of guys that have and possess that type of, you know, talent, you know, from a mental side. And he seemed to check every box on that aspect. So although it doesn't mean anything, you know, you're like, well, if somebody can, you know, you think those type of people can. And he's demonstrated that on every level. He's continued to refine his game and improve his game. And boy, has he taken it to a whole, you know, quadruple level this year. And you know, we're excited. And it looks like it has a chance to have a staying power, which is, you know, obviously a benefit to all of the Yankee fans. And, it's great to be able to produce so far. You know, Gary Sanchez and what he did last year and what he's doing this year, and now obviously Aaron Judge to show up the way he's done. Those are two big bats in the middle of the lineup. I'd love to get Bird back into the process at some point, but we got to wait for the expertise from Charlotte, North Carolina, to tell us what we're dealing with there. And so, but we'll see. You know, the veterans, whether it's Holiday or even Castro, who's not that old, he's, you know, just 30. I'm sorry, 27. You know, and Didi, and you know, all these guys are contributing. Gardner's been nothing but,
well, you did a wonderful job bringing Didi to this team, bringing Castro to this team, bringing Holiday to this team. I mean, those guys who were brought in, I mean, they've all, whether it was trades, whether it was free agency, they have fit very, very well. I mean, Didi's turned into a wonderful player. Was a wonderful trade. Castro has really done a tremendous job. Holiday's been really a perfect signing in terms of leadership and putting him in the right part in the lineup and handling the veteran, you know, capabilities and run producing that you need right there. So you've done a great job putting that lineup together.
Well, I'll tell you, the one thing about all these guys is they're tremendous people. I mean, if any person, whether you're a Yankee fan or not, runs into these people, you know, out and about the New York area, you know, day game, the night after a day game, they'll see them at a dinner table. These guys are just very easily approachable, good, honest to goodness people, high character people, and so they're great to interact with. And I got a great staff. I mean, I get, you know, whether it's Mike Fishman or Tim Nehring or Jim Hendry or, you know, Kevin Reese and all these different guys that help guide me, David Grabner. You know, all these guys are helping me, you know, putting me in a better position to make, you know, safer bets. And so it's reflective in, you know, in a lot of success stories. We'll still have our failures like everybody, and we'll stub our toe. But I tell you, I got a good staff to help direct me and push me, and so those, it's brought us some good talent, and I hope we can continue to find some.
If I had given Yankee guys, all you personnel guys from top to bottom, your entire staff, you and everybody else, a sheet of paper and said, tell me what guy you think is destined for stardom, would anybody have had Judge on their list, or would he have been a no across? There would have been other guys on every, whether it was a pitcher, whether it was Sanchez, whether it was Bird, whether it was somebody, Mateo, whoever it might have been, would anybody have picked Judge? Would he have been a candidate, or would he have been down the list?
No, I mean, in terms of, he was a high-risk, high-reward guy.
Was stardom even in the forecast for Judge as a player?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I could say stardom, but I could tell you that resoundingly everybody felt we were going to have an above-average right fielder on both sides of the ball. Above-average offense, above-average defense. Does that mean every now and then you got an all-star or what have you, but we were going to deal with, we felt, you know, that eventually we were going to have a player that was an above-average player at an offense and defense, and that's a pretty damn valuable asset to have. So, you know, does that imply star or not? I don't know. I do know that, you know, Damon Oppenheimer made a very astute choice. It was compensation for Nick Swisher's free agent signing by Cleveland, and to turn that into, you know, 4 or 5 years later, Aaron Judge, it's been a huge benefit, and it will be a huge benefit going forward for this franchise.
No question. All right, listen, good luck the rest of the way. We'll talk. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Brian Cashman on the Yankees. So there you go on Torres. There you go on first base. There you go on all the possibilities.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.